We have Jerry DePoto, Mariners general manager, so we need to stop with the shenanigans. Jerry, we appreciate you joining us. How are you doing?
I actually stopped my own shenanigans to join you.
Oh, well, it's good. It's good to hear from you. We were talking about in the start of the show, kind of looking at the value that the franchise has gotten from Nelson Cruz as a free agent. And this is probably seeing the power he's had. He's now got 15 home runs for the year. He hit 44 last year. Probably pretty close to a best case scenario when he was signed on the open market.
I think that is a very fair assessment. You know, coming off of what I think was a really good run in Texas, Nelly made the 1 year pit stop in Baltimore, and now the 2 years here, or year plus here. You know, if you could argue, and I think it would be a very fair argument, that the last 3 years in total have been the best of Nelson's career. And, you know, he just keeps getting better with time. And he was a late click guy who went, you know, deep into his 20s before he really figured it out fully at the major league level. And, you know, a little bit unusual in that regard. And every year he's been in the big leagues, he just keeps getting better. And he's played in postseasons, he's played in all-star games, and just a wonderful guy to boot. I mean, the makeup is as good as the performance on the field.
Jerry, you've gotten three good starts in a row here, but still a lot of concern in town over Felix Hernandez, a strained calf. Any word on what's the latest with him?
We still don't know a whole lot. You know, Felix, the day before yesterday, we put him in a walking boot just to try to calm down the area. And, you know, Dr. Calfane has been very conservative in his treatment on this one, and for good reason. Felix is very important to us. And, you know, it's not coincidental, I don't think, that the day we found out Felix was going on the DL, we started to teeter in the starting rotation. I think a lot of the issue we had over the course of the last week with our starters was just simply putting more pressure on themselves because they knew the lead horse wasn't there. You know, that being said, we are hopeful that this is more short-term than long, but we don't have a real gauge on when it's going to be. We know he's not going to pitch this weekend, and we're just taking it day by day, and we're going to let Felix's body tell us how to behave.
Jerry, you mentioned other guys maybe putting more pressure on themselves. How do you keep players from doing that?
Yeah, unfortunately, you just have to go through it, and you learn with time. I think you need one guy to step up and stabilize the group, which I think on Sunday in Texas, what Kuma did, and that's what accomplished veteran pitchers tend to do. We've got a good group, and these guys, you know, have probably experienced in unison their worst starts of the season. You know, from James Paxton through Wade Miley, Nate Collins in Texas, Taiwan in Texas. I mean, they had a rough run through the rotation. There's no question. And, you know, Kuma settled it down, and here these last two. Paxton was just terrific on Monday, and I thought Wade Miley was equally as good yesterday. Did a great job at navigating through a game. And they gave us a chance. And, you know, our offense has been plenty good enough. Our defense has not been the same without Marte and Martin, but still plenty good enough. And, you know, we're getting closer to being at full strength from an offensive standpoint. And those starters, if they can do what they did the first 2 months of the season and these last three nights, our bullpen has been excellent. So we should be in a pretty good play.
Hey, Jerry, I think as excited as I've been about watching a pitcher, it was Edwin Diaz the other night. What's going to be his trajectory? How are you guys going to work him in this year?
You know, there's still a little bit of development that needs to happen with Edwin, and we're going to be cognizant of that. His debut the other night was just electric. And I think going from, you know, it's very rare when your starter throws 96 to 100 and the middle guy comes in and is throwing harder. So, you know, it was just electric to watch. And Edwin has a special arm. And we had a notion that once we moved him to the bullpen, we would see an uptick in velocity. And, you know, as a starter, he was more 90, 94. Average velocity is probably about 93. Since we've moved him to the bullpen, it's been 96 to 101. And, you know, average velocity has been close to 98. So it's a pretty significant jump. We don't want to push him too hard. Right now, the likelihood of seeing him out there multiple days in a row, or 3 days in a row, is not something we want to do very often, but we want to introduce it to him. Scott wasn't planning on using him last night unless it was to get a hitter. So we're gonna behave like this is a young guy who we're still trying to develop. As a goal, I'd like to limit his exposure to something in the neighborhood of 50 games over the course of the full season, which I think is a reasonable transition into the bullpen. He He's resilient. He's athletic. He's young. It's an electric arm. I think you saw on Monday what he's capable of. It's just top-end velocity with a really quick slider and enough funk in his delivery to make a hitter pretty uncomfortable. And I thought he was extremely composed on Monday, and I'm very excited to see where he goes. And if he, from a composure standpoint, if he's able to maintain where he is right now, I'm sure Scott and the staff will push him back into a more meaningful role as time passes.
We're talking with Jerry Dipoto here on the Venue Kings Hotline. And Jerry, we've seen across baseball kind of the rise of these uber bullpens with multiple power arms, best evidenced by the Yankees. Was the move of Edwin Diaz to the bullpen kind of something that reflects a growing value in baseball? What prompted you guys to move him there?
We still think Edwin has the potential to be a major league starter if we leave him in that role. And the more we talked through it, and you've heard me here, Edwin, it's a little bit funky. It's a different delivery. It's a different arm action. And he's primarily a two-pitch pitcher. Those things don't mean you can't start in the big leagues, but it does limit the sample or the pool size of guys that have been dominant two-pitch, funky starters. And it's not that it can't happen. We just didn't want to bet against the averages, so to speak, or the norm. And we just wanted to take one crack at seeing, and we talked about it internally many times before we did it. From high school forward, the evaluations on Edwin were that he was more likely to wind up as a major league reliever than starter. And with as dominant as he had been at AA, with the idea that he might jump a little bit velocity-wise, let's give him this chance to make a run toward the big leagues, because there is such extreme value in those power arms in the pen, especially in today's game. So we gave it a run. We told him that this was because we thought it was his ability to reach a higher ceiling. And he has a chance to really impact a major league staff in the role he's in. And in our minds, whether it be a premium leverage type reliever, whatever inning he's pitching, or continue to develop him over the next couple of years as more of a fourth type starter, we thought this was just a higher ceiling, higher impact, and filled what could be an immediate and long-term need for us. It's been one day, but so far so good.
James Paxton, he struggled in San Diego, but he looked fantastic Monday night against the Indians. Is it all about the arm slot changing with him? But it appears that maybe it had something to do with an attitude change as well.
Yeah, James is just a really good guy. And he had to be the unfortunate guy to step in for Felix, who has been as durable and as good as any right-hand starter in the last decade. So it's probably not the way you're hoping to step in for your first start of the year, and it didn't go very well. We asked him to wait an extra day. He was on a six-day rest, and, he was hit. He was hit frequently, and it didn't go hard. It didn't go well. So it's probably a long 4 days for him to wait to come back around. He needed to maintain a focus. You can't question James Paxton's stuff. And, he went from spring training where I'd say his average velocity was probably closer to 92 miles an hour, and his slot was just dead over the top. He went down to Tacoma. He made a lot of adjustments that we asked him to make, and he did it willingly. He worked his tail off, and immediately we saw a velocity bump once we got his arm slot down, and the fastball life exploded. And, what you saw on Monday night was more reflective of what they'd seen a lot in Tacoma with the cutter slider that he throws. It had more sweep and bite to it. We didn't even see his best curveball on Monday, and he was still able to go out there and dominate for a six-inning start. It's an electric arm, and if James is confident in himself, like I think he was on Monday, there's no telling what he could do, because that is top-shelf major league stuff, no question.
Hey, Jerry, last Thursday, you guys are down 12-2. This is as big of a comeback as I've ever seen from this team. Tell us about the feeling. It had to have been a pretty special feeling in the clubhouse afterwards.
Yeah, I was actually back in here at Seattle at the draft meetings. It wasn't there, but I got a lot of on-the-spot recaps. That's an emotional comeback. That's something that's very unique. I've been around baseball a long time. I know I've seen comebacks, haven't played in Coors Field some, but never anything quite like that. And I think the combination of how hard we fought to come back, the emotion spent in doing it, the crazy night travel to get into Dallas, 5:30 in the morning and then go play a really hot and a very good Texas team, sucked the life out of us for a couple of days, and we had to get back up off the floor. But to me, that's as exhilarating and as emotional a win as you can have in a season. And, you know, you hope it has the opposite effect and it gets guys through a tough spot in the schedule. But hopefully last night we were able to get ourselves our equilibrium back and start playing the way we can, because I think we're a pretty good team.
And that's got to be a pretty valuable tool, right? I mean, you go through something like that you can definitely bottle that, and it teaches you a lesson for the rest of the season.
It really does. And, you know, just the way we did it on that Thursday night versus the Padres, you know, seven consecutive hits like that. It was just phenomenal to watch up and down the conga line. You know, and the only thing that stopped it from being more was the fact that Nelson Cruz had an awesome bat, just didn't result the hit. That's what I think it was, a 10 or 11 pitch at bat in the middle. Where everybody contributed, from Sean O'Malley to Dejo Lee to, I mean, it was incredible to watch. And, you know, those kind of team wins can really carry you for a while. And, you know, like I said, it had a bit of the opposite effect on us. And, you know, the guys came in, you could see it on Monday, they were just gassed. And I'm glad they were able to spend the night in their own beds and come back in yesterday. Now we're playing another first-place team. You got to be on your toes and bring your A-game, and they showed us that on Monday.
Hey, Jerry, the draft starts tomorrow. You're picking number 11 overall and then number 50, and I'm not sure after that. But I know you can't tell us who you're zeroing in on or focusing on, but is there anything you could tell us about the draft in general? And I suppose the philosophy continues with looking for players that can control the zone.
Yeah, I mean, controlling the zone is a big thing for us. I've made no bones about that. It's something I've stressed since the day I got here. And organizationally, I think we're doing a great job of it. We keep our own internal metrics, and right now our organization leads all of minor league baseball in controlling the strike zone. I'm proud of them for doing it. They're doing a great job. We're doing a pretty good job of it here in the big leagues, I think, all in all. But, you know, we've definitely isolated on a handful of players. Obviously, our list is 11 deep. So we feel like we're going to get one of the 11 best players in the country by our estimation. Probably have isolated on two or three who we think are most likely to be their only pick, and would be thrilled to get them. So it's tough to tell who's going to fall your way. We do have, you know, just philosophically, in the top 100 picks, you're looking for, you know, to balance impact with risk. And you want athletic, high-end, upside players to the extent that you can find them in the draft. You know, and then once you get beyond those top 100 picks, it's about building a pool of players that allow your organization to develop. Those to me are the guys who sneak up on you and turn into valuable players. You know, the guys you're picking up from rounds 4 to 40 in the draft that have a chance to change your world. And that to me is where you can beat people in the draft. And I really feel confident that we are going to beat people in the draft.
Jerry, we were having a pretty important discussion when you called in, and it was the subject was our favorite cereal. What's your favorite cereal?
My favorite cereal, I'm going to say Kashi Goin, the crunchy version, the honey almond flax. It's a lot of detail for you, I know. But
wait, it's not like Fruit Loops or
Lucky come on.
Charms?
Yeah. You got to get some sugar in there, Jerry.
Cocoa Puffs. You know, it was either that or Cocoa Puffs. The Cocoa Puffs, I think the last time I had a bowl was at age 12. So my mom was afraid it was going to rot my teeth out.
That's funny. Mine was yesterday.
They were delicious. Jerry, we really appreciate you taking the time. It's great to catch up with you each and every week, and we appreciate you doing this and also just being so forthcoming about your plans. It's really fun to watch this all come together.
That's fun. These guys have been great. Very excited for where the team's at. Like, I hope last night was the start of a streak. If not, this team's pretty resilient. We bounce back okay.
Yeah, you certainly do. Thank you very much, Jerry.